My, the group may be small this morning, but the voices are big. I love it. That's a great song to start off with as we come together this morning for a time of worship, and we just lift God up and we sing honor and glory and power and praise to Him. A few announcements to share this morning. Sunday school following the service this morning. We'll be using the two classes over here. We have the first class over here that you would come to if you're staying is a share and prayer class. It's a time to come together to get to know each other, to lift up prayer requests, not only the requests, but also praises and thanks to God for the things that He does. The ones in that class have a great time of conversation and sharing with each other and just showing appreciation to God for who He is and all that He does. Then the next class in the back, we're doing Igniting Faith in 40 Days. Great study. We're having a lot of fun. The ones that are in there seem to do more laughing than anything else. It may be the teacher they're laughing at. I'm not sure. But, okay, don't agree with me, guys. But it's a good time. So if you stick around, come into one of the classes. We're having a good time, and we're learning, and we're just growing in God as we pray and we learn and study from His Word. Tuesday, 9 o'clock, will be our breakfast, men's breakfast at the Country Junction. Also on Tuesday at 6 o'clock p.m., IF team will be meeting, and we need to get together, IF team members, so we'll plan on being here for that. Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Blaze group will be meeting. Very important, gentlemen, today, if you have not signed up for Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference, talk to Roger right back here. Let him know we've got to get the money in. I know there's been some signing up today, so we have to get this so we can get the good deal on the men's conference. And the money needs to be in no later than today. Okay, so this is the deadline. All right, thank you, Roger. An exciting announcement. A really exciting announcement. Next weekend, we get to spring forward 1 hour. Yeah, that's great. Doesn't that mean we get an extra hour sleep?
No. Lose an hour.
Oh, man. That's not that exciting then. Oh, man. Okay, so anyway, be sure to set the clocks as we turn them forward. I was looking forward to an extra hour of sleep, but if I'm not here next Sunday morning, I'll be here. Script cards. We are still taking orders for script cards. For those of you who may not be familiar with the script program, they're essentially, what's the name of these cards? What are they called?
Gift cards.
Every different kind of company you can imagine, from grocery stores to gas stations to whatever. And with these script cards, what we do is we're able to order these for you, and you get the full face value. If you order a $25 script card, you get $25 worth of value on that. But what the company does is they will then pay the church, like some of them are 2%, some are 4%. I don't know what some of the high ones are, but the church gets a percentage of whatever that script card is. So you get full face value on it, and the church then gets a percentage off of it from the company. So it really works out well as far as helping a fundraiser and helping an ongoing thing in the church. Gas cards, just anything. See Tana. She'll be taking orders following church this morning so that she can get them in. And it takes, the one question we've had before is how long does this take? It takes about a week. If she puts her order in, what, tomorrow? Or today, whenever she, usually by Wednesday, the cards are here. So they come pretty quick and really helps out the church. I wish maybe sometime we got to do a total on how much has come in off of the script cards. It'd be nice to know because I know it's been quite a bit. One other announcement, and things happen so they don't always make the bulletin, but I want to share with you. Upstairs in the fellowship hall, we have some food up there. I think Dave probably brought that by, didn't you, Dave? And there's some bags of carrots up there if there's any left. There's some cabbage up there if there's any left. And in the refrigerator, I like this. I don't know if you guys do or not, but there's some hummus. Now, it's good hummus. It's a salsa hummus, I think is what they said. So we're going to get a little salsa. No, I didn't do that. But But anyway, it's some hummus. I love it. Help yourself. It doesn't do any good to stay in the refrigerator and get old. We need for people to take this and use it and enjoy it. Dave, thank you for bringing that stuff by and dropping it by. With that, I would ask if... Today, yes. Following the service, between the service and Sunday school, you know, 15 minutes, we will be having birthday and anniversary celebration upstairs. Come up and have some cake and coffee and whatever as we just kind of corporately do a celebration of those who have birthdays and anniversaries this month. With that, I would ask that our ushers come forward. Isn't it great to be here today? You know, I just love Sunday mornings, and we come, and we're not really huge, but we love each other. And we have a spirit of God in the house that says, you know, we're related. Sherry, you're my sister. Isn't that cool? You know, and Karen's my sister, and Gene's my brother, and James, you know, he's my little buddy. Yeah. God has provided so much for us. And so as we come to this time of offering, we just return to Him. That's all we do, a portion of what He's given to us. Not only in the love and the fellowship that we have, but in the things that He provides us materially as well. So I just pray as we receive the offering that you would let God guide your heart, that it would be what He leads you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the things you've provided. Father, I thank you for each one that is here, and the fact, Father, that not only are we gathered here as individuals, we're gathered here as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're brought together knowing you as our Savior and Lord. Father, be with this service and bless this service. And now as we would receive this offering, we want to lift it up to you. You know the many needs of the church, and you know that there are things that need to be done. So, Father, we just trust that you would put your blessing on this offering as we receive it. Let it be used to build your kingdom. Let it be used to make a difference in lives. And we lift it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share a story with you. Story's been around for a while. I would say many of you here, maybe most of you here, are familiar with it. It's not the first time I've shared this story, but it has to do with a promise that a father made long time ago. Husband and wife were excited. They couldn't wait. There was a new child on the way. And the doctor said, you know, probably the best way to do this is to do a C-section. You've had one before, and that's probably what we want to do, and be the easiest on you and the easiest on the baby. So the date is set. And the date is coming up, and the parents were excited. They couldn't wait. Finally, the day rolls around, and up early in the morning and walking through the darkness, the surgery was supposed to take place at like 7:30 and had 40 miles to drive to get to the hospital. And so away they went to the hospital, and they get to the hospital, and everything is just wonderful and smooth, and the doctor's there, and the nurses are there, and they're all set. And of course, the young father coming in was a little bit crazy, and he'd gotten permission from the doctor to film the whole thing, to take and do a video of it. And wow, what a neat thing to video this whole C-section process and the baby coming into the new world. Everything went fine. They got the mother in position, and if I think the way the story goes, she maybe had a spinal block or something like that, but they went in to do it. And sure enough, after a little bit, here this baby is being held by the doctor. And there's so much joy in the room, And everybody's so happy, and the baby is immediately handed off to a nurse who took the baby over to this little isolette and kind of cleaned it up. They're icky when they first come out. That's all I'm going to say. And then suddenly the attention focuses away from the mother and the doctor stitching her back up, and the attention is shifted to the baby. And suddenly there's not one nurse, but there's two nurses. And then there's not just two nurses, but there's two nurses and a doctor. The baby's blue. And not looking good. And the doctors and the nurses work on the baby and work on the baby and work on the baby and pick the baby up and just briefly bring the baby so the mother can see it. The baby is put back in the isolette and swept away to who knows where. The doctors had work to do to take care of sewing the mother up. That led into a very tumultuous experience for that family. The mother had to stay in the hospital because she'd been stitched up and could not leave. The baby was put on any kind of life support they could find there in the little local hospital. Word went out that this child needed help, and it needed to be transferred to a neonate intensive care unit because that was the only chance it might live. The one town that they could go to said, "We're in the middle of a snowstorm. We can't fly. Can't get there by road because the heavy snowfall had things blocked." The other town, a further distance away, said, "We can't come, we can't fly, we have a sandstorm. And we can't fly because of the sandstorm, and to drive there is too far to drive." The doctor, for 24 hours, sat next to the isolette of the baby. It was a long time before Mom actually knew what was going on because she needed to rest and she needed to heal. And then she was told the story that there's a serious situation and the baby has a problem. Now, I'm going to throw these names at you, and some of you may know them, you may not know them. One's called transient tachypnea of a newborn. The other one is called hyaline membrane disease. And the other is called a PDA problem, and PDA has to do with the heart valve that's supposed to close, and when the baby is born, that's supposed to close, so the baby is using its own blood, not mom's blood, and this kind of thing, and that hadn't really closed. It's a sick baby. Finally, the one hospital got loose, and they said, we're sending a plane, and we'll be there, and they showed up. It had been 24 nerve-wracking hours in the hospital. The baby was picked up, put on the plane, and taken away, and the family's torn. Where do I go? There's a child in a town hundreds of miles away, but there's a son here and a wife still in the hospital. Tough. No money. At that career and that place in life, you never had money anyway. Couldn't afford a plane. So the decision was to hop in the little four-wheel drive vehicle and drive, and then just spend the next amount of time that you'd have in the far city sleeping in the little four-wheel drive vehicle. And somebody came up, a stranger kind of, but known but not real close, and said, "Go buy yourself an airplane ticket." So the father, after talking to the mother, flies out. Arriving in the far city, he goes to the hospital and immediately is told, "Your child is on the 14th floor." This is a huge, huge hospital. Your child's on the 14th floor, and he goes up to the 14th floor, and he walks in and asks, where is my child? And he's directed to this little isolette. And at the isolette, there's three nurses standing around the isolette. There's two doctors standing around the isolette, and they're all looking, and they're all doing something. The father goes walking over, and this little child has needles and pins and tubes and hoses and everything running on his body, and is secured in this isolette that you can't even touch the baby. Slide your hand in through the gloves, and that's how things were done. Doctor calls father aside and says, with these issues, we will only give this child a 50% chance of survival. The father's encouraged by that. 50% is good. Doctor says, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. She's going to be up, she's going to be down. She's going to be up, she's going to be down. I'm going to flash forward because there's a whole lot happened in this story, and I really don't have time to tell everything. But the father made a habit of every single day before he would go up and see his child, he would go to the chapel in the hospital. And at that chapel, he would get down on his knees, and he would pray, believing. Do you hear that word? He would pray believing that God had the ability, that God has the power, that God has the authority to heal and to restore this child. Day 10 rolls around. The father goes in and kneels in the chapel. And he's praying. And God touched him on the shoulder. That's the way it works. God touched him on the shoulder. And he gave him a simple message. She's going to be okay. With those words, the father had comfort. With those words, the father knew that the father had taken care of it. So he leaves the chapel and he gets on the elevator, he goes upstairs and he walks into this room, and there's hundreds of babies in this neonatal intensive care unit, and he sees his baby and, oh no, there's two doctors around the isolette and there's three nurses, and the baby had been getting better and they didn't have it like that. Now all of a sudden all of this is going on. God, you touched my shoulder. You said everything's going to be okay. Shaking, a little bit scared, he walks over where they're at. And the doctor shakes his head. We don't understand. There's nothing wrong with this child. There's nothing wrong with this child. She is breathing properly. Her heartbeat is where her heartbeat needs to be. The PDA has valve, and I'm not a doctor, but it's closed off like it's supposed to. We don't understand this. We have documentation. This child was so sick, but she's fine. If she stays this way for 24 hours, you can take her home. Well, she stayed that way and took her home. I made a promise to God. And I said, God, I will never forget this story. I will never not share this story. Because you see, God, you're amazing. You're a God that we can put our faith in, that we can trust. You're a God that we can believe has answers. You're a God that can heal, a God that can take this little child that is so sick and heal her. That little child turns 26 years old on Monday. Her name's Dana. And She's strong and healthy. If you don't mind, send her a text or something. Just say happy birthday. Now, there's a part of the story that I didn't tell you, and as I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, you know, I've told this story many times, but there's part of it that I've missed, and Dustin's here this morning because he's the other part of the story. Man, he is a story. I love you, son. But imagine this. He's 5 years old. Mom's in the hospital. He doesn't know what's going on. And all I knew to do is I had to get to Phoenix, Arizona. And I grabbed Dustin and gave him to the first person I saw, pretty much. Here's my son. I'm going to Phoenix. And he was with these people until Donna was out of the hospital and able to go home. But the thing I've never asked Dustin about, and I'm not going to now, but I guess I'm curious. At 5 years old, I don't know how much he understood, but I would love to know what his thoughts were as all of this was going on.
Perhaps you should have asked when I was six in order to remember.
I'm hard of hearing. What'd you say?
I should have asked when I was six in order to remember.
When you were six, you would have remembered. Okay. And I would have expected no answer less. But that was the way it was. And here's my point today, guys. God is a faithful God that loves us. He is a God of miracles that pours himself out on us. And he is a God that when he gives his word, when he makes a promise, he keeps his promise. And when that promise is nothing more than a tap on the shoulder saying, it's going to be okay, you can believe it's going to be okay. And this morning, as we come together, we're going to talk about faith. I love talking about faith. I've been talking about faith because it's so important to who we are as Christians. There's a word that I love. Absolutely. I love this word. I would use it more if I could. The name of the word is accentuate. Accentuate. Anybody know what that means? It means to stress something, to single something out as important. And one of the things, and I don't know where I first came across it, and I think it was in a children's book somewhere, but it said, accentuate the positive. You ever hear that? Stress it. Accentuate the positive. It was such a positive experience that God healed this child, that God put his hand on the parents and said, it's going to be okay, that God took care of so many things and has over all of these years taken care of things. Accentuate the positive. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life this morning, that's positive. And we need to accentuate that. We need to stress that. We need to put that out there that people can see I've got something very positive in my life. It's important. Now, a biblical writer said this, the tongue can no man tame. The tongue can no man tame. There was a Greek philosopher, and he asked his servant to provide the best dish of food he could possibly provide. So the servant prepared a dish, and the dish was tongue. And he brings the tongue in, and he set it before his master, and he said, it is the best of all dishes, because with it you may bless, you may communicate happiness. With it, you dispel sorrow, you remove despair, you cheer the faint-hearted, inspire the discouraged, and say hundreds of other things to uplift mankind. Later, the philosopher called his servant in, and he said, I would like for you to fix now the worst dish possible, the worst dish you can think of. And later on, here the servant comes in and he sits down this dish that he's prepared and he sits it on the table, and it was tongue. It is the worst dish, said the servant, because with it we may curse and break human hearts, destroy reputations, promote discord and strife, set families, communities, and nations at war with each other. Tell you what, that was a wise servant. That was a wise servant. 23rd Psalm. Today I'm going to be using some different versions of the Bible than what I usually do. Don't get freaked out by it, okay? I'm going to be using New King James for those who may have New King James. And I'm also going to be using some passages from the Message. Now, the Message reads in plain English. I'm not trying to promote any of these Bibles. This is what I'm using. Because the passages that I'm sharing are very true is with the way they are written. Psalm 23, the New King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Each and every word, each and every one of these verses, they not only were, but they are declarations that David chose to make. He chose to use these words. They were choices. They were words of encouragement that he knew God was more than capable of delivering in his life. And you think about those words, we use them at funerals and all of this, but it speaks to life and to encouragement. See, David and King David, if you don't know the Bible all too well, let me just quickly tell you, David was a king. And David had been appointed by God to be a king, but he had this whole life. He started off as a shepherd boy. He started off with nothing. And as he rose and became a king, he had things that those who loved him turned against him. The king that was ruling at his time tried to kill him. The king that he'd come alongside of and fought for and killed a giant for and all of these kind of things turned against him. But David is the king. And he's been on both sides of the fence. He was a champion and a hero one moment. And the next, he was a fugitive on the run for his very life. And he was seeking someplace safe to hide. David was tempted by all kinds of temptations. He was tested. And let me tell you something. He didn't win all of those battles. He failed. He failed. He lost a lot of them. He won some. He lost some. But he knew one thing, and I want you to know this today. He knew that he was capable of deliverance. He was capable of being set free from the things that consumed him, from the sin in his life and the things that he'd done. He'd been delivered many times from many situations. So what does he do? He chose to accentuate, I like that word, he chose to accentuate the positive, to dwell on the positive no matter what was going on in his life. This is what we do. And it's hard sometimes to do because we get dumped on and we just try to, we go down and it's so hard to get up. But David is saying, even through the hard times, even though I've been dumped on and I've been beat, kicked, whatever else, I've been just had bad problems. He says, I'm going to accentuate the positive. And he knew that there were power in the words that he used and how he used them. And that's why the 23rd Psalm is so uplifting. It's supposed to be. And in the end, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. David, because he was willing to confront the stuff in his life. David was willing to admit his sin. He was willing to admit the problems he had. He was willing to face all of these things head on. One of the things David really knew how to do, he knew how to pray. Oh, to be able to pray like David. He knew how to pray. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. God loved David, even though David was a stinker. David had moral issues. He had murder issues. He had lying issues. He had all of these kinds of things. But he knew how to come to God and say, God, forgive me for these things. Deliver me from them. And he became a man after God's own heart. In Matthew 12:35, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this for you. And what it's saying is, words are powerful. And take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, and words can also be your damnation. So many people go through life feeling like they're just kind of stuck in a rut. Day after day, they make proclamations and declarations that just keep them right there in that rut, held hostage, having no way of escape, day after day, month after month, year after year, and before you know it, an entire lifetime slips by. Recently, I heard of a young man who has been trapped by alcohol. And this is a young man. And he's been trapped by alcohol to the point that he's been arrested a number of times for DUI. Probably going to have his license taken away, possibly do jail time. Because he's stuck. He's in that rut that the alcohol has consumed him. And he doesn't know how to get out of the rut. He doesn't know what to do. Oh, his girlfriend is going to rescue him. By the way, guys, gals, this rescue dating stuff, listen, it doesn't work. You know, missionary dating, just doesn't work. That's not how it's supposed to be. But she's going to rescue him. Well, here's the problem. She's got her own drinking problem. As she told him, she said, you are not to drink anything else ever. You know, while she turns her drink up and sips, you know, whatever. Young people. The problem with this, and I've seen it so much, not just with alcohol, but with other things in people's lives, is they find themselves 50, 60, 70 years old, and they look back over their life, and they say, what a waste. And you know, I'm at the same place today that I was when I was 20. Because they're caught in the rut. And they don't know how to get out. And sometimes their tongue is what holds them there. You ever heard somebody make these statements? I'll never have this. I'll never have that. Well, I'll never be this. And I'll never be that. No matter how much I want to, I just can't. Oh, it must be nice, and you're so lucky. I never get to go anywhere. You know, I hear people traveling, and I hear that a lot. Well, how come I never get to go anywhere? Well, those are just statements of observation, folks. That's all they are. Those are statements of declaration, and those kind of statements that you make aren't really made to benefit you. They don't do you any good. Those kind of statements are made to denigrate and to destroy you. But we catch ourselves doing it. Everybody else has it better than I do. Well, I work hard. I'm a good person. I treat people nice. Why can't I? Man, by your own words, you're bringing yourself down. God has given me, according to the Word of God, He has given me all things that I need for this life. Everything. And are there things that maybe I would like to have? Of course there are. But I have everything I need and more. Because God has not only granted the needs of life, He has granted some of the wants too. Oh, I'm picking on family a little bit today, but you know what? I would not trade anything for the family I have, for the love that we share. I can't think of anything on this earth more valuable than that. You know, Dustin, I'm sorry to pick on you, but my son's here today in church with me. Now, he doesn't live here. He's got a little bit of drive to be over here, and he came over last night and stayed with us, and how special. And you know what? I'll let you in on a little secret. He is about to marry one of the most wonderful young ladies that I think I have ever known. Certainly, I better not go there, I'll get hit, by Dustin. But Mallory is an awesome gal, and we welcome her into the family. She's going to fit so well. Dana is going to be getting married in December, and a young man that she loves dearly, that our prayer has been that it would be a Christian, that he would treat her nice. You know what? How do you put a price on that? How can you look at those things and say, well, I sure don't have much going on in my life? It's exciting. But by our words, we can just bring ourselves down, and we get in the rut and we stay there. Sherry, I got to tell you too, by the way, and I'm off track here a little bit, but I tried to get Dustin to do the engagement up front here, and I just couldn't get him to do it. He said no. So, knowingly or unknowingly, our words become their own destruction. It may not happen overnight, but it's just a matter of time, because the Word says, and we already read, that it will happen. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. That's good news. Your words, it can be your salvation. That's what Scripture tells us, and they are. Starting with personal salvation, the very moment Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, your destiny is changed and altered forever. Totally, completely changed. God left nothing out. You got that? He left nothing out. When He introduced grace, and grace is freely given. Grace is that which we receive. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We don't have enough money for it. There's nothing we can do. But God, through grace, that saving grace, has said, I will provide a way for you that you can have eternal life, that you can have rewards beyond your imagination, that there's a place that you can go. It's a life insurance policy that there's nobody writes one better. It's the way it is. And God, through grace, gives this to us. And the moment we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, it all begins a new journey. He left nothing out. Now, the devil, folks, the devil has tried and continually tries to alter salvation's liberating message. The blind people, he blinds people from knowing the benefits of the truth of salvation. But the fact remains, our lives are forever altered, and the end result is the eternal life that we have in God. That eternal damnation is replaced with life. That's when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Most people are happy with the result when their lives change. They have a life insurance, an eternal life insurance policy. Can't buy that, folks. But unfortunately, few realize all the benefits that Jesus died for and what they're entitled to. Not only entitled to, but are also made worthy by the blood of the Lamb to partake in every way, in every step, and all along the way, Jesus is there to be with them. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. We're all men most miserable. The Bible here speaks of our need for growth. It's in our walk and relationship that we have with God and Jesus, His Son, and our Savior. Because I believe if you're not going forward, folks, and you're not going forward in knowing God, unless you're willing to partake in that, then you're never going to experience that joy that He's promised you. It just won't happen. 1 Peter 1, 5-9 in the Message says, "So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you. You're oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. If you're diligent in building a relationship with God on a daily basis, no day will pass without a reward to you as you walk that journey." Remember I told you guys how to start each day? What did I tell you? Yeah. In the morning when you wake up, the very first cognitive thought you have in the morning when you wake up should not be, "Oh man, I got to go to work today. That alarm can't be right." By the way, I felt that way this morning, but no. First, wake up. That thought needs to be, "God, thank you. God, thank you." The first 15 seconds of your day, "Lord, bless this day. Prepare me for this day. This is your day. This is a day the Lord has made. I will and be glad in it." Wonderful. That's a simple thing to remember. I wake up in the morning and I just say that. "This is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." What a great day. And I rejoice. You want to start it off? Start with that. Start looking at how God is in your life and how positive you can be with this. I'm not standing here as somebody that's not been tested and gone through the same garbage you guys go through. And those of you here have gone through so much more than I have. So much heartache. So much pain. But God is a faithful God, and He says, "I will bless your life if you have faith. If you have that faith to let me do so, your life will be blessed." And no matter what circumstance you catch yourself in, God is going to say, "I'll take care of it. Trust me. Trust me." Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." If you want all that God has to offer on a daily basis, then you have to seek Him on a daily basis. You understand? It's not one of these like, "Oh, today is a good day, and I'm in church, and God is good, and oh man, the sunshine, what a great day. And then tomorrow, oh man, I got to go to work." That's not what we're shooting for. Tomorrow is a new day, a fresh day. And you know what? When you wake up tomorrow, your heart's still beating. You know how I know your heart's still beating? Because you woke up. You talk to somebody that's been through that kind of a fear of having a heart attack. And there's a reality there that says, well, maybe it won't be beating in the morning. But God sends that extra beat. And He keeps it going. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew 7, and this is how we just come to God. Verse 7 through 9. Anyway, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. See, the prize of knowing God through a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, is meant to be enjoyed each and every day. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not pray it, claim it time. It's not God, Santa Claus. We've gone through this before. You know, the Arlo Guthrie, I think it was Arlo Guthrie. You know, Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes-Benz? Remember that? But that's not what we're talking about here. Ask, seek, knock. We're talking about the things that are in God's will. Those things that He wants for us in our life. And we look and we say, God, whatever You want for my life, that's what I want to receive today. Because He has my best interest at heart. He looks at me and He says, Dennis, I got things for you that you haven't even imagined. And He looks at you and He says the same thing. He said, no matter what rut you're in, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, He says, I've got plans for you. And my plans are good plans, and they're plans to prosper you. They're plans that will give you strength and encouragement and see you through this life until you stand face to face with me in glory. Is that awesome? It's God's promise through faith. Through faith. Don't lose a minute in building on that gift that you've been given in this Christian life and all the benefits that are ours because of it, because we're associated with Jesus Christ. He gives us a free gift. Oh, it came at a great expense. But it's one that should never be taken for granted. You see, Jesus shed His blood for us. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Great is Your faithfulness. Whether we choose to partake in them or not doesn't change the fact that they are always present and they're always available to us. And they're always there that we can accept them at any time. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today and every day. We have a choice to live the life, the abundant life that God gives us. You're going to make a choice. And you're going to make a choice how your day is going to go. You're going to make a choice on how you're going to live your life. You're going to make a choice on whether to have the abundance and everything that God wants to give you or to be down in the rut. And God says, I don't care how deep you think that rut is, I can pick you up out of it. Philippians 3, 20, 21. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. Everybody in the entire world knows that citizenship has its benefits. Well, you know what? If you're a child of Christ, you've got citizenship. Your name has already been recorded. And isn't it time that maybe we start to realize the benefits of that, the heritage that you have in Him, and to start to enjoy what He wants you to do along the way? Oh, God wants so many good things for you, folks. He loves you. If not, then we have to ask ourselves, why do we ever even become Christians? If we didn't believe or we don't want to enjoy the benefits of being a Christian, why did we ever become one? Didn't most of us enjoy life to the full before we became Christians? I know I did. But by the way, that life that I enjoyed to the full, that got me in a lot of trouble. I didn't care. I was having fun. But God wasn't a part of the plan. And that got me in trouble. being a Christian, I live life to the full. All you got to do is spend a little bit of time with me. Christian doesn't mean that we have to walk like this all the time. And we're staunch. And the word of the Lord came. No, man. Life in Christ is fun. I like to laugh. I like to laugh. And God has given me a lot to laugh at. Oh. But our life is full of enjoyable things. Our life is to be lived in a way that says glory to God that people don't understand. That's our life. And we enjoyed what we maybe thought was a full life before Christ, but no, after we came to Him, things changed, and now we enjoy a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I don't know about you this morning, but when I get something new, like maybe a new rod and reel, which I love fishing equipment, getting new fishing equipment, I enjoy it. And I like to get it and play with it, and I'll stand up on the deck and I'll cast it. It always gets hung up in the tree over here. I break line, but it's still fun. And I'll cast it and reel, and I'll try to see how all the different things on it work. I enjoy it. Well, it's kind of like that with God. And His mercies are the same way. He wants you to learn all about them and to experience them and to enjoy them in your life and what they can do for you. That's why they exist. It's for our benefit. We can't accomplish anything on our own. It's only with God's help that anything is possible. And that's why He gave us access to His help. With man, nothing is possible. But with God, all things are possible. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, the plain truth, it's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God's building a home, and He's using us all, and it doesn't matter how we got here. What He's building is for there. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. And now He's using you, and He's fitting you brick by brick and stone by stone with Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape every day as Christians get stronger. There's a holy temple that is built by God, and all of us are built into it. We're a part of that temple where God is at home. See, God's not interested in our past like the accuser is. He's interested in our future. He forgets our past. Can you believe that? That's a question. I'm going to be honest with you as a pastor, and I've gone over time. I apologize to you for that. I'll wrap up here quickly. But I've always wondered about that. I can forgive people, and I do forgive people. It's not hard for me to forgive somebody. There's a part, though, that says forget. And when we talk about God, God not only forgives our past, He forgets it. How do we do that? We're supposed to. And if anybody here has mastered that, if you figured that out, I'd love to hear you. I really would. Listen, I'm honest with you on the things that I know and I don't know. And that's one I haven't figured out because I don't know how to forget. I never want to bring it up again, and forgiveness is forgiveness. But how do you forget? Well, the future we have is one that Satan knows nothing about. And when you let him, let God lead and direct your life, He's helping you to rewrite the story of you each and every day. brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds everything together. He wants to take you to new heights and has great things for you to experience that He has had planned for you your whole entire life if you'll just let Him, if you'll just call on His name. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. When is the last time you called to Him to show you the great and mighty things, and to reveal those things as to how they would benefit your life and those who you are around, those who you're associated with? The interesting thing is that as Jeremiah wrote that, he was in jail. And yet he wrote those words. The Lord came to him. A word from the Lord will seek you out, my friends, and find you no matter where you are. David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. I love it. You see, it doesn't matter where you are in life. God can move in any situation and in any circumstance. And He's not moved by the size of your problems. And it's just as easy for Him to heal a broken heart as it is to heal a cut finger. Don't dwell on the situations and circumstances of life, but dwell on the One who controls all situations and all circumstances. The One who created life, and with just a whisper of His voice, you came into being. Folks, say it with me. Accentuate. 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 Ah, there's still sleepers. Accentuate.
Accentuate.
The positive.
Positive.
That's it. Accentuate the positive. Live your life that way. It's simple. It's simple. Accentuate the positive and take the negative and let God handle the negative. He wants it. He'll take it. And He says, that's fine because I want you to have the positive. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much. Father, faith is something that we don't think enough about. But through faith, You guide us. Through faith, You lead us. Through faith, You answer our prayers and You bring us to a new and wonderful life. And so I pray, Lord, that as we'd go from here today, that we would go out with a song in our heart, with joy in our step, that we would go out saying, God is God and Lord of all, and that we know that You created us before You formed us in our mother's womb, and that You've been with us from the beginning of time. You will be with us through eternity, and that You have a place that someday we will find our eternal rest. And Lord, we look so forward to that day, the reunion that will take place. So Father, I just pray Your blessings on this congregation. I pray that their faith would be a faith that just follows all that You say. And we lift it to You in Jesus' name. Amen.